Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
We're rolling out the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio, and that's right, it's Good Friday.
Start spreading the news.
Now, you know, as you know, not only does that music mean Schomburg Stu is here, but he is here on his birthday. So happy birthday, Stu, and nice of you to stop by on your birthday.
All right, then. It's good to be here again, another year older and deeper in debt, right?
Yes. Well, what are you, 29 now?
I just hit 30 today, actually, so.
Well, okay. It was close, so, you know, we were right in that area. So, you know, but as you know, if you want to call in and talk to Stu on his birthday, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, go ahead and feel free to email your birthday wishes, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blog will go up there sometime tomorrow morning, so look out for that. But, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit the link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter there, but we're working on that. Of course, you can find me at Burke Time, and you know, if you got a comment for Stu, I will gladly forward that along. So, all right. Well, you know, there are some kind of let's, you know, call them odd, interesting, strange, however you want to work it, surrounding one of our local teams, and this time it's the Bears. You know, a lot of rumors out there that they could be interested in the Raiders quarterback, Derek Carr. You know, they made a couple moves today. They released Prince Amukamara and Taylor Gabriel because, you know, you need that important salary cap room. Do you think they're going to be willing to admit that Trubisky's a bust and move on, or you think we're going to see another year of Big Mitch?
I'm afraid to say it, but I think we'll probably see another year of Big Mitch, although I think they might at least get a quarterback in the training camp to give them some kind of competition. Let's see how that works out.
Yeah, you know, Derek Carr, you know, he's a high percentage passer. This is the kind of guy that works in this offense. You know, because this is what Alex Smith was for Kansas City. He was a high percentage guy that, you know, really improved that offense. Obviously, they got to step up with Patrick Mahomes. You know, the Bears gave up quite a bit to move up to that, you know, move up one spot when they really didn't have to. They got taken by the 49ers. So, you know, really smart move on San Francisco's part. And, you know, just another ineptitude by, you know, by the Bears. That was ridiculous. I just don't know if they're going to be willing to say, okay, here's the guy we picked second, and he's a bust. So I think you're kind of right. I think we're going to have to see another year of Trubisky.
And you think there's no credibility in the rumor about the possibility of the Bears signing Carr?
Well, they would have to trade for him because he's under contract.
Oh, that's true.
So,
right.
You know, I guess there's all, you know, there's always a possibility. You know, there's been a lot of reports about the Raiders wanting to move on from him. And, you know, they've really been tied up with Tom, you know, the Tom Brady news. You know, there were reports out there that they were even willing to offer Brady 2 years at $60 million. So I was just kind of like, oh, okay, well, good luck with that. But I don't know. You know, I mean, you got to wonder, Derek Carr hasn't, you know, he hasn't really had a ton of success with John Gruden. but you've got to wonder if it's the system, or what it, what it works out to be. But I mean, he's been a healthy quarterback for them, so you can't complain.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but by this time I have to say that Trubisky is one of the worst busts the Bears have ever made. And they made a lot of them over the years, as we well know. But I just don't see them improving all that much for next season.
Yeah, well, I really wonder what caused the step back. Because, he looked really, really good that first year when he started to play, and it looked like, okay, we've kind of got something here. And I'm just wondering, I guess the more I think about it, maybe it was just the easier schedule and they were playing weaker teams, that kind of helped that move. But last year he was not as good.
He really looked like he regressed. And I was impressed with him in one game the previous year, the initial game against the Packers on national TV, where he looked like he had a lot of confidence and the Bears were coming up with a major upset. And, of course, we know how that one turned out. But he looked good. He looked good in that game. But a lot of time has gone by since that game occurred, of course. And as you pointed out, he certainly looks like he's regressed. And I'm not sure if the schedule has all that much to do with it. It just maybe the league has caught up with him a little bit, and he just is too predictable and too awkward as a quarterback, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and I do wonder, with any quarterback in this offense, there's a lot of gimmicks involved with this offense. I mean, it's not a any kind of almost straight up type offense. I mean, there's a lot of, ins and outs and kind of goofy idiosyncrasies that go along with it. And you're also, the tough part is you're going to inherit a team that may not actually have a true number one running back. I know they want David Montgomery to be that guy, but he didn't prove he was last year. So I don't know if, we don't know what he is.
He did have his moments, though. He did have some good moments as a Bear. And he appears to be a healthy kind of a guy. At least he was elusive enough when he did have some good runs not to get injured. He was pretty healthy free. And I think the guy has potential, but whether or not he could come up to live up to that potential remains to be seen.
Yeah, well, I thought they had a really nice mix with, when Jordan Howard was here, they had he was the big power guy, and then Tariq Cohen was the change of pace guy. With Montgomery there, Cohen really regressed last year. I mean, I'm looking at his stats. He caught 79 passes, but he only averaged 5.8 yards a catch. And he only rushed for 3.3 yards a carry. He wasn't good.
No, I've wondered about that also. Do you think the regression was due to the fact that he no longer had Howard to complement him in the Bears offense?
Yeah, well, I think, obviously not totally, but I think a little bit of it had to do with the fact that he wasn't as hidden as much as he was with Howard, because a lot of times when Howard came out and Cohen came in, teams just kind of thought, okay, well, Cohen's in, they're going to throw the ball, and he was able to have some success running it. Well, last year they didn't really have to key on it because Montgomery's not that power, we're always going to hand him the football type of guy that Howard was.
No, that's true.
Yeah, I think it made the offense a little more obvious.
Well, what do you think the Bears are going to do to improve the situation for next season, if anything?
Yeah, I honestly don't know. They don't have a first-round pick because the Raiders own it. That's part of the Khalil Mack trade. So I don't know. you know, my guess is they need an offensive lineman with the Kyle Long retirement. You know, because, I mean, when he was healthy, he was their best lineman. So they're, you know, either they're going to have to spend some money in free agency to find a guy to replace him, or they're going to have to draft somebody. You know, it'd be fantastic if they could work out the tight end situation. You know, they brought in Trey Burton. He was supposed to be a, you know, turn into a big star tight end. And I get it. He was hurt last year. But, you know, they spent a second-round pick on Adam Shaheen, who doesn't look like anything.
No.
So I don't know. You know, there's so many situations. You know, at least it looks like they got a number one wide receiver in Allen Robinson. The question is Anthony Miller good enough to be a number two?
I think Miller has some potential to be a possible number two, although he was quite erratic last season.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, it looks like he's got all the tools. I mean, he's a fast guy. You get him in the open, he's tough to catch. You know, if you can get him the football, but yeah, I just don't know, you know, and I, you know, the defense was pretty solid, but you know, you got to kind of wonder without Vic Fangio, what in the hell happened to the sack numbers? I mean, even Khalil Mack didn't get to double digits. You know, Leonard Floyd, who was another first round pick and supposed to be a pass rusher, only had three. You know, so he's looking more and more like a bust as a number one draft pick. I mean, they're just making way too many mistakes, you know, with these draft picks.
Now that the Bears have had 1 year without Fangio, can they bounce back and be dominant again as they were in the previous year?
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing that's always tough to repeat with this is remember – you know, that 2018 defense, you know, they got takeaways. You know, they had interceptions, they had fumbles. I mean, they really, you know, found ways to, you know, get teams to turn the ball over. You know, last year they had 10 interceptions as a team and, 14 fumble recoveries.
That's true.
That, you know, that's not a huge number, you know, when you're looking at that kind of stuff. So they're going to have to find a way to get that back. And you do wonder if the interception total was down because the sack totals were down.
Well, one leads to the other, that's for sure. But sometimes it's the luck of the draw. I mean, being in the right place at the right time. And some years it's just not there. And obviously last year was one of those times. And a team has talent, though. I think they can bounce back and be a little more dominant than they were in the last season. And they're going to need to do something dramatically if they want to have an outside chance of making the playoffs next season.
Yeah, and, you know, again, I think also with turnovers, you know, I believe scheduling factors into that a little more because instead of playing that last place schedule, they played the first place schedule, so they saw quarterbacks like Drew Brees, you know, Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, when they were out of the division. You know, they played the Cowboys, so they saw Dak Prescott, they saw Patrick Mahomes. You know, these were a much higher level of quarterback than you faced the year before when you had the last place schedule.
Well, now that they wound up 8-8, what kind of a schedule will they have for next season?
Yeah, well, you know, they'll play the third place schedule, you know, and I don't know. Let me see if it's posted here. I don't know if they released 2020 already. I'm not sure if the NFL did that yet. You know, normally there's a big thing on that. So we'll have to see. I'll use Dan's favorite search engine here and Bing it and see if I can get get an idea of, you know, who they're going to play and what it kind of looks like. All right, let's see if this will give it to me. You know, the tough part is finding it, you know, being able to just break it down into
right
one. Yeah, it doesn't look like they have they do have who they will play out of division here, but they don't have it in in weeks. This year they get, what is this, the NFC South? So they get the, that means it's the Saints, the Buccaneers, the Panthers, and the Falcons. And then they have games against the Texans, Colts, Giants, Jaguars, Titans, and Rams. You know, obviously besides the 2-2 with everybody in their division.
Right, right. You have the six games.
Not, yeah, you know, it doesn't look like a, you know, it's not too tough of a schedule. Obviously the Saints are going to be good. You know, you got to figure the Texans and the Colts, the Texans, Colts, and the Rams will be good. But other than that, I mean, there's not a, you know, too difficult of a, you know, another team out there. So, you know, and luckily they get the Saints at home. They don't have to go to New Orleans, you know, because if they
yeah.
were going in the dome, you know, that's an automatic L. So.
Well, it does sound that they have a possibility of, I don't know, at best, maybe they can win 10 games next season if all things are headed in the right direction for them and Trubisky starts to play a little bit better, but I can't see him with any more than 10 wins, and that's kind of a stretch even for me at this point.
Yeah, well, yeah. It does look like they can get the 9 or 10, obviously depending on, you know, because obviously, you know, teams are going to change here. I mean, you know, right now we don't even know who the heck the Buccaneers quarterback is going to be. You know, we don't know what the Panthers are doing with Cam Newton. You know, both of the Titans quarterbacks are free agents. You know, there's been a lot of talks of the Colts making a change at quarterback. So, you know, there's still a lot of this up in the air on, you know, where things will go. But, yeah, I mean, as of right now, with the things are the way things are laid out, you got to think 9 or 10 possibly here, and, you know, maybe contend for the wild card?
At best, I can contend for a wild card next season. But I really have no stock and no faith at all in Trubisky moving it up a notch. I mean, is this who he really is? I mean, I think it is. I don't see you're going to see too much improvement.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's the tough question. I mean, we got to, you know, he's coming into his third season, or he's coming into his fourth season. So, you know, they're going to have to make the decision here. You know, as a first-round pick, he's got that fifth-year option. So they're going to have to make the decision on if they're going to pick that up or not after this season.
Yeah, well,
so I
don't think they will.
You
I
know,
don't
I,
think they will. But who knows? Maybe they'll shock us and play decently. But as of now, I would say
yeah.
my gut would be that they don't pick up the fifth-year option.
Yeah, you know, and obviously, you know, it's going to depend on how he plays. You know, I mean, if he goes out and, you know, has a fantastic year, well, then, yeah, they'll definitely bring him back. But, you know, yeah, if he goes out and stinks, why even bother? So.
Yeah, exactly right. And to me, he looks like a plotter. I just don't see anything that would warrant high expectations for his upcoming season.
Yeah, interestingly, you know, some of the mock drafts I've seen now, you know, the Bears don't pick till 43. And a couple of them I've actually seen have them taken a quarterback with that first pick in the second round. And then they sit at 50 where they'll take what is supposed to be the best pass-catching tight end, the guy from Purdue, here's his name, Bryson Hopkins. So, but the weird part is then they don't go again till the fifth round. So they got 2 seconds and they got to wait till the fifth. So, they're really going to have to hit on these draft picks to get some help.
Yeah, well, of course, it's all because of the Mac situation. And unfortunately, he's now coming back to bite them where they don't want to be bitten. And I don't see him doing much in the way of obtaining great earth-changing players in the draft. So that being said, though, there's always free agency and a trade or two that can happen.
Yeah, you know, you do wonder if, you know, they can find a free agent out there. And, you know, I don't really know their cap situation. Obviously, these two cuts today will, you know, will help with giving them a little more money. But I don't know otherwise, you know, where they sit. And I do wonder, you know, who the heck is actually out there still.
Yeah.
So
you think today's cuts were basically because of a salary and cap consideration?
Yeah, it basically boils down to, while Taylor Gabriel is a nice player, he was a little overpaid for where he was sitting. So it's understandable that, you let him go. And then, Omukamara was kind of in the same boat. You can get cornerbacks for cheaper than what he was going for.
Yeah, and no surprise in either one of those moves, though, today. I mean, that was kind of expected.
Yeah, honestly, the biggest shock is I was surprised they didn't let go of some of those tight ends. You know, they have a pretty full tight end roster. So
I'm wondering if Burton can bounce back if he's healthy for next season.
Yeah. But, there are some, and obviously, these guys don't draw a lot of attention, but there are some quality offensive linemen on the free agent market. Again, it's just going to be, do the Bears have the money to kind of compete with them? And, obviously they should probably stay away from Greg Robinson, because when you get caught with 157 pounds of weed in your car, you're probably going to jail for a long time. So that may be a good...
I think we could scratch him. Now, I understand that he told the police that was just for his use only.
For his use for the rest of his life? Well, you need an excuse. That's probably what I would say too, right? I mean, hey.
Yeah.
what the heck?
Yeah, you wonder why these guys do something like that. So stupid, but what do I know?
Yeah, I have zero idea on what the heck he was thinking, but we'll have to figure it out as it goes.
Yeah, maybe he'll claim entrapment.
Yeah, maybe. I'm sure he'll. He can afford a good lawyer, so
that's for sure. And he better go start looking for one right now.
So, definitely he'll need something. It looks here, I'm looking at it here, it looks like the Bears have a little over $26 million in cap space. So, they could probably add a couple top linemen if that's what they're looking to do. And, by the mock drafts I'm going with, they're not really drafting any linemen early, with either of those second-round picks. So they probably need to add some in free agency.
I'm sure they will get at least one offensive lineman in free agency this upcoming, before the season starts.
Yeah, they may need multiple guys at this point. So,
at least one.
Yeah. But we'll see. It's getting to that point. I mean, I know the combine is getting ready to kick off here. Of course, I can no longer watch the bits and pieces of it I used to, because I never got the NFL network back from AT&T, kind of like, you never got, you still haven't gotten the Marquee network. I still don't have the NFL network. So
I'm sure you'll be enjoying the Marquee network starting tomorrow, but I know I won't.
No, yeah, you will miss out as the spring training games do kick off. I know there were some today, but I believe they were just playing like college teams and stuff like that. So
it's important, by the way, and I found this to be true over the years, that teams in spring training need good weather. And so far the weather's been very nice where they play, 80s, low 80s, and lots of sun. There have been some years in which the weather was not good, and I think it hampers the team when the regular season starts.
Oh, yeah, and there was one game today. The Rangers actually beat the Royals 5-4. But, yeah, the Cubs open up with the A's tomorrow. It's a night game. You're going to miss a night game. They don't start till 7:10. And the White Sox open up with the Angels.
Well, that means I won't be able to hear Len and JD tomorrow.
Yeah. So, yeah, are they? I didn't even bother to look to see if they were on. I'm sure they are, but I just didn't look for it.
Have you seen all the different acquisitions that Marquis is making? I think that's going to be overkill. They're going to be not only those guys are going to be doing the games, but they have some other players they brought in as a trio.
Yeah.
Other broadcasters, and I'm just wondering if that's just a little too much.
Yeah, I believe they brought in every former Cub who works for the MLB Network. You know, I saw Dan Plesac, Ryan Dempster, Carlos Pena, and I think there may have even been a fourth that is going to,
Mark Grace is coming back too, isn't he, for some games?
Maybe. I don't think he was the guy they had listed this morning when I saw it, but, yeah, I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. So, can Mark Grace drive yet? Does he have a license?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
You know, that would be the thing I would, work about there, but.
Yeah, he might not be able to drive, but I'm sure he can find a Uber to take him to the spring training camp if need be.
I'm sure they could, negotiate something where they have somebody pick him up and bring him in. But, I did have a little problem here with baseball the last couple of days. Flat out, I can tell you I'm tired of talking about the Astros and them stealing signs, because it starts every interview. I actually saw a Joe Madden interview on the Mickey Mouse Network before I came in to set the podcast up, and the first question they asked him was about the Astros, even though he used to manage the Cubs and now the Angels. And that's just how it goes. But the problem I have, and I got to tell you, I'm really disappointed in the David Ortiz comments on Mike Fiers, calling him a snitch and complaining that he didn't do anything while he was on the Astros. Could you imagine what they would have done to Fiers if he would have outed them while he was playing for the team?
I'm surprised that Ortiz would even make those kind of comments.
So, I know everybody loves him, but honestly, I think he came off like a gigantic jerk, talking about that. I'm actually wondering how much of it is he's trying to cover the Red Sox ass, because they're next. We're going to find out here really soon what went on, what their punishment is for that, 2018 season where they won the World Championship.
Yeah, it'll be quite as severe as what took place with Houston, but it should be interesting.
So yeah, so I think that's going to be kind of, because obviously, he was out there in his Red Sox hat, in his jersey, because he's a special assistant, and I know everybody loves him, and he's allegedly a great guy, and I got to tell you, he didn't come off like a great guy to me. He came off kind of like almost like he was trying to be a thug. Just like, oh yeah, you don't snitch on, what you in a gang now? So
Yeah, it doesn't sound good on his part, and I'm wondering, when Houston plays, when they go on the road, will it increase the attendance, you think? And maybe we talked about this. Will it increase the attendance when they visit another team, just to go out there and have the fans boo them?
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's going to be people who want to go. Well, I either told you or Dan, the Dodgers season ticket holders have actually put together a group to go because the Astros and the Dodgers don't play, but obviously the Astros are going to play the Angels. So the first time they play the Angels, there's actually going to be a group of Dodger fans that have already bought tickets to go to the games.
And I wonder what they're going to do when the Astros are playing. They're going to be booed vociferously, I'm sure, by all the Dodger fans in attendance.
Yeah, apparently, I don't know which house this is in Vegas or anything. Apparently, you can actually bet on which Astro is going to be hit first.
You can actually make a bet on that, huh?
Yeah. So,
well,
you know, it was just kind of like, oh, okay, this is, you know.
I know you can bet on most anything out there, but that's really bizarre.
So yeah, I it's so weird because it's kind of like, okay, well, how do I how do you pick this? What guy do I go with? You know, do I go with Altuve or do I go with Bregman or
right.
You know, maybe I just hedge my bets and bet on both of them.
And how are the umpires going to handle this situation when they do get hit?
Yeah, well, you know, apparently. You know, they've been instructed, and, you know, Major League Baseball has already issued warnings, you know, to teams about throwing at the Astros. But I honestly, I don't think it's going to stop guys.
Well, at least pitching inside, huh? But that's the name
yeah.
of the game.
You know, I mean, that would be – My excuse for it was the fact that, you know, hey, I'm just trying to throw inside, and, you know, he got out over the plate. You know, not my fault.
What about some of the Astro players, the new ones that they've acquired, who weren't with the team when they won the World Series? Will they get a pass?
Yeah, you got to think, you know, they know who's who. You know, I mean, there are definitely guys who are out there front and center that are going to be the focal point. Like I mentioned Altuve, I mentioned Bregman. You know, Carlos Correa has talked quite a bit about it this off season. You know, so his name is gonna pop up. So
yeah, the more I thought about
yeah,
it, I mean, this is such a terrible scandal when you think about it. I mean, they're trying to minimize it, but this is one of the worst things I think that's happened in baseball in a long, long time.
Yeah, well, you would have to guess probably since steroids was the big issue. And it's weird because, you know, I keep hearing everybody say how this is worse than that. You know, this is worse than all of that. You know, and the only thing it's really comparable is you got to go all the way back to the, you know, the 1919 Black Sox throwing the World Series.
Yeah, and that is even worse, of course, than these things. But when something like this can affect the outcome of a World Series, it really is bad. And what compounds the issue was that Manfred has made a kind of a complete fool of himself and has lost the respect of all the players in baseball because of some of his ridiculous comments that he's made.
Yeah, he poorly, you know, the minute he said the World Series trophy was just a piece of metal, he was done. You know,
yeah,
that was
sure.
the end of it.
Yeah, and
you know, you got harder than that.
That
you know,
and
I know he's tried to back a little bit, but I don't know if, you know, he can get away from that now.
No, I don't think the players accepted the apology.
You know, and it's weird because, like, I know, you know, there are a lot of people still killing him for not suspending the players. And, you know, these are obviously people who have never dealt with a union before because there's just no way that was going to happen.
No, no.
You know, if he would have suspended them, this thing would be in court until – you know, the cows come home, as they say.
Yeah.
You know, there's just no possible way that he could have ever gotten any kind of satisfaction. So.
Yeah, things are bad when some of the players who are kind of sliced bread, white bread, when it comes to giving bland interviews, come out and castigate the commissioner, like even Chris Bryan. Who's never been controversial,
yeah.
except that one thing about that tongue-in-cheek thing with St. Louis, but even he was pretty adamant about castigating what the commissioner said about the trophy.
Yeah, you know, and well, you knew this was a big deal the minute Mike Trout came out and said something about the Astros. Because, you know, he's another guy that just doesn't ever comment on anything.
No, no. Yeah,
so, it's just kind of, oh, okay.
Yeah, it was kind of shocking when he came out and said that because, like he pointed out, this guy shuns publicity in a big, big way. I don't think he does virtually nothing in the way of commercials, and his interviews are very rare. And when he comes out and says something like that, people are listening, going to listen.
Yeah. Just one of those things. I think the only commercial I ever saw him do was he had that ad for Subway.
And that was about it. And, you know, he's turned on a lot over the years. Of course, I'm sure he isn't hurting for money anyway, so that's another thing. But
not like it's going to be a big deal to him, but, you know, he's just one of those guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, just have, you know, and it'll be interesting to see how this kind of continues to play out, but, you know, I just need the media to give it a rest for a while. And, you know, the sad part is we're just going to go through it all again when the Red Sox thing comes up. So.
Yeah. It's really a terrible, terrible scandal. If Pete Rose, by the way, is correct in saying he only bet on his team to win, then he should be in the Hall of Fame after what these guys have gotten away with this incident.
You know, and well, you know, that's what he said. You know, he's petitioned to be reinstated because of this, saying this was worse than, you know, anything he was accused of.
And I don't think anybody has ever come out and said that he bet on against his team to win.
Yeah, no, apparently he always bet on them to win. You know, it was just the fact that he was betting on them, you know, and he was doing it from the dugout. So
exactly. Yeah, the integrity of the game has taken some hits over the years, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, it's been definitely been one of those things, but it seems to continue to, you know, hang on. So
when you think about it, can anything like this happen in the other major sports? I mean, could there be cheating in the NBA or in hockey? I don't see how.
Well, I don't think you can cheat in either of those because, like, in the NBA, they no longer run plays. So, you know, that's not going to help you. I think the only possible thing could be football.
Right, exactly.
You know, you can talk to guys now. I mean, you could tell the defense what play was being run. You know, if you were somehow able to steal the other team's playbook or something like that. But, yeah, that would be kind of difficult to do. And then, of course, if you're wrong, you know, you'd be probably giving up a touchdown after touchdown.
Yeah. But I think you're right. The only other one that comes to mind would be the NFL in terms of securing a playbook or figuring out what the play is going to be before it's actually even run.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I get in, you know, hockey and basketball, you can learn a guy's tendencies, but that's not cheating. That's just how the guy plays the game. You know, you're not stealing anything. You're just being smart and watching video. And, you know, like David Ross brought up a good point this morning. I heard, and he was on one of the local stations, and he was talking about how, you know, Pete, and I don't know, I've always been saying this too. There's a huge difference between what the Astros and the Red Sox did and what a guy is trying to do when he's out at second base. You know, if you can get out on second or maybe, you know, sometimes first or third, if the catcher's given his signs away and you can steal the signs there, that's all part of the game. You know, you're not going in the back and using any technology to go, oh, okay, look, they're doing this. You know, that's a whole different animal. You know, what they did to what, you know, what players try to do on the field. So,
well, you know that over the years you've seen countless times when there's a runner on second base, the catcher will trot out to the pitcher and discuss the science,
yeah,
where they should start to make some adjustments. And you yourself, you were caught in college. How did you combat it when there was a runner on second base? Did you do anything differently?
Yeah, you know, we always had secondary signs. You know, like obviously when there's nobody on, you put one finger down, the pitcher throws the pitch. When there's guys on, you have, in most cases, what you call an indicator, and then it would be the second sign I gave after the indicator or the third sign. You know, so you go through multiple fingers. And, you know, you can, because obviously they're not going to know what the sign is then. You're given three or four. Well, okay, he threw a fastball, but why did he know to throw the fastball? So, there's ways to prevent it. But I know Jonathan Lucroy, you remember former Cub Jonathan Lucroy that they brought in at the end of last year? He mentioned, and a lot of players kind of noticed this, and I guess they just didn't say anything, but he was talking about how when they played the Astros, because I believe he started the year with the Angels, or I don't know where he was, maybe in 2018, but he mentioned that he almost had to change the signs with the pitcher every pitch against the Astros because he kind of had an idea something was going on. Hmm. You know, and what, you know, obviously what he found weird about it was they were stealing signs with nobody on base. You know, and now I know occasionally a first base coach or a third base coach can pick up your signs if you hang them too low or you're not covering them up correctly. But at the major league level, that's a rarity. So, you know, there were players that kind of noticed stuff and just didn't really put it together or didn't say anything, or maybe they didn't want to be a snitch like Mike Fiers. But so, you know, it was definitely kind of clear and kind of obvious to some guys.
Yeah, and some guys have the smarts to know that something is going on that shouldn't be going on.
So, yeah, you know, it was just one of those, one of those situations. And I did yesterday, Dan and I talked a little bit about a couple of injuries that happened. And we got an update on one. Carlos Carrasco of the Indians has been diagnosed with what they're calling a mild strain of his right hip flexor. And they're going to consider him day-to-day, and he's going to, you know, he had the MRI. So they're not quite sure when he'll be back, but luckily it doesn't seem to be as serious as they first thought, because they didn't quite know what it was. They were saying leg yesterday. It was very much like hockey because all they were saying was leg. And it's like, well, you guys just should have put out lower body injury.
Yeah, a little hockey style talk, huh? A little hockey talk there.
Turns out to be a hip flexor.
Will
you know,
he be
the
ready
other
for the regular season? Will he be ready for the regular season?
It looks like it. He should have time. And then the other injury we talked about was Luis Severino of the Yankees, who should be their ace. But he's been shut down with what they're describing as forearm stiffness. And it's looking more and more like he's going to make a trip to the DL and isn't going to be ready for opening day.
Yeah. I always find that ominous. Other injuries for everyday players don't seem to concern me. But when you see something like that with a pitcher, that's not a good sign. That is concerning.
You know, he's just coming back from, I believe, Tommy John. You know, he only pitched in three games last year plus the playoffs. So, you know, to have something else pop up like that, you've got to, you know, and he's really young. So, you know, and he's their guy. You know, they're looking at a guy who could be at the top of their rotation for years.
Yeah, that's true.
So they need to get him right and get him healthy.
Yeah, that is not a good sign for them. That is not good. I'd be very concerned if I were them.
So yeah, it's definitely something they're going to have to follow through on. So yeah, that's just kind of a couple updates there on you know, some stuff Dan and I went over yesterday. I don't want to leave you guys hanging, wondering, you know, hey, these jerks threw this out here because they were talking about fantasy, and now I don't know what to do with these guys. So, you know, there you go. It looks like Carrasco should be back and fine for opening day, barring any type of setback. But Severino, that's going to be a different story. I would probably take him off my board and look to grab him late if your league has a DL spot.
Yeah. Well, you certainly hope that there aren't any major injuries in spring training, although we've seen over the years that there always seems to be a few players that get dinged. And we hope that it doesn't affect them when the regular season starts.
No. Yeah, you know, unfortunately, they're always, you know, always something. You know, it comes up one way or the other. Somebody gets, clipped or hurt or thrown, you know, whatever works out, but something pops up.
And it can't be easy for the players with these dings that they play in a cold weather city when the season starts. That certainly can't help the situation at all, even if it's a minor injury, because it's certainly not going to help them if they open up in Cleveland or Chicago, and as compared to Houston or Los Angeles or Tampa.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, that's, you know, or you're in a dome, you know, if you're Milwaukee,
right,
or somebody
exactly.
like that, where you're
right.
sealed. But, yeah, just one of those, one of those sad things. But I did want to ask you, I kind of forgot to bring this up when we were talking about the Astros. What do you think of these little leagues not wanting to use the name? You know, and humorously, I used to coach little league. Well, I coached what was called senior league, the older kids. And the last two teams I coached were the Red Sox and the Astros, name-wise. So I don't know what that says about me.
Well, don't forget you're a former catcher, too, so you know all about those things.
Yeah. But, yeah, how do you feel about them? Do you really think it's, an important step that a little league needs to take?
No. I mean, guilt by association is because a little league team has the same name as the Astros or the Red Sox. I can't see them being all that important. I mean, and it'll die down anyway. You won't even think about it in a year or two, but I don't think the stigma is going to be all that significant with the name change. If they want to change their names because of what happened.
Yeah. And, well, you know, like I can understand, the California teams not wanting to do it because the Astros beat the Dodgers. So, I kind of get that. But, you know, I saw some teams out there on the East Coast that were like, yeah, we're not going to use these names anymore. We're not going to use this name anymore. So I'll be interested to see what they do when the Red Sox get punished.
Yeah. Well, there's a multitude of names they could switch to if they feel it is that detrimental to their team.
So yeah, I just thought it was kind of an interesting take. I mean, I don't know. Would the younger kids even realize what was going on?
Yeah, you wonder how much they pay attention to what's going on in the major leagues, and they're just in it to have fun and play ball. And I don't think a name change would do anything.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of
interesting, though.
Kind of an interesting, I guess the take would be the way to look at it. So, just how that kind of goes, kind of works out.
Well, it's always interesting to talk about baseball anyway, because this in a month or so we'll be starting.
Yeah, it won't be long now. The sad part is we're going to have to go through that part where spring training really drags. So, you get the excitement because tomorrow, obviously, everybody's going to be out there playing, even though, the starters are only played, probably less than an inning and getting it bat or whatever. But, you know, it'll be exciting, and then it's kind of like, yeah, okay, great.
What do you think an average big league player who's been around a while, how much time does he really need to get ready? You think 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks is sufficient for him to get his timing down?
You know, you would think, you know, I know nowadays with fitness the way everything is, guys start preparing a lot earlier. You know, pitching wise, like I've heard guys say they started throwing in December. So that, you know, that's kind of odd for me, because I would think, you know, in some cases your season didn't end till November. You know, I think I would have, you know, waited till at least the new year, but.
Yeah.
You know, with all the fitness stuff going on, you know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of early guys. But, yeah, I think, you know, hitting-wise, if you can see 2-3 weeks of live pitching, you know, you're good to go.
Yeah.
You know, it basically it's more getting yourself into shape than anything else.
You know, as you say, a lot of even all the everyday players, they seem to work out year-round now. So they don't have too much to prepare. The only thing is as you pointed out, though, live pitching, as compared to out of a cage, is a big difference, and maybe the 2-2.5 weeks should do it for them.
Yeah. So, but all right. Well, I want to get your picks in here as we begin to wind down, and I will tell you, you hit on your pick for Team LeBron winning the All-Star game. But your final score was a little off, but I realized they changed the format and it was an unfair pick, so I threw it out. So you went 1-0 last week.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, because they couldn't have gotten to your score with the way they set up the format. So it was just kind of like, yeah, we'll get rid of this one. So I got a couple interesting ones for you today, and we're going to start off with spring training. Since the Cubs kick off, I want you to tell me how many hits they get in the game. And I'll give you plus or minus 2 either way. So how many total hits do the Cubs get against Oakland tomorrow?
Well, that's a good question. I will I'll give them – I'll be generous. I'll give them 8 hits.
All right. So we'll see how that goes. And now this is something we haven't touched about this. You and I haven't touched about this. Dan and I didn't touch about this. But obviously there's a – gigantic fight tomorrow. So who you got winning, Deontay Wilder or former WWE star Tyson Fury? He made an appearance. That counts. Who you like in the fight? They did go to a draw last time. So
yeah, I know that they've had a couple of fights before, and the last one, I think, wound up in a draw, though most of the experts thought otherwise in terms of the decision. I will have to say that Wilder is going to win this one.
Okay. So we will lock these in here and get them all set. Yeah, actually, I left the TV on in the other room when I came in here, and I can hear them. They're doing the weigh-in right now. So I do find it kind of interesting that they weigh heavyweights, because in reality it doesn't matter what they weigh.
Right. But is there going to be a run-in during the weigh-in?
I think Tyson Fury worked with Braun Strowman, so maybe Strowman runs in during the weigh-in and attacks him.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
You know, and I take it you are going to be like me, and you will not be purchasing or watching the fight.
That is correct. I will not be purchasing the fight. Oh, it's very easy to do, but I will think I will skip that. Although it sounds like it should be a good slugfest, though.
Yeah, it's nice to see heavyweights. You know, for a change, it's hard to find good heavyweights. So this is a kind of a plus there, and you know, hopefully it turns out to be a good fight. In my younger days, you know, my friends and I would have went out and caught it at whatever, you know, local establishment had it, and, you know, had a few pops while we were there. But,
yeah,
you know, since it's really, you know, they're all married with kids and stuff, it's just kind of me, and I'm not interested in that. So
a little more difficult. Here's the thing about the current crop, the current state of boxing, as far as I'm concerned. Years ago, I used to know every champion in every division, every title, name it, featherweight, middleweight, heavyweight, light heavyweight. It's almost impossible now because there are so many different titles around and different organizations.
Yeah.
How do you keep track of it? That's my problem with it now, with the current crop of boxing.
Yeah, well, you know, humorously, it turned into very much what independent wrestling turns into. You know, what a lot of people don't know about independent wrestling is you join a Fed and you train there. But what happens to a lot of guys is they get upset because they're not good enough to be the big star, or, you know, possibly you get a boss who likes to continue to make sure he wins all his matches. So you leave and you start your own Fed. And then somebody gets mad at you because you didn't make him the champ. So he leaves and he starts his own Fed. And that's kind of what boxing turned into, because now all of a sudden we have all these governing bodies. You know, I remember when I used to start watching, it was the WBA and the WBC.
Yeah, that's it.
You know,
that's
and then it. Then the IBF popped up, and now there's so many titles. I think possibly I won one the other day just walking into my apartment, but I don't remember what it was, branch it was for.
That's right. Yeah, it is too much. It is way too much now.
Because, yeah, it used to be, boy, you know, God, I remember when it was, you know, the wide world of sports on ABC was a big thing, and they would actually show fights. You know what I mean? These were big-time events at the time, and now I know Fox Sports still shows boxing, and occasionally Fox will put some on. But, I don't even know if ESPN does their regular card. You know, they used to have a regular, like, I think it was Thursday night fights. But I don't even know if they do that anymore. And the sport is really kind of deteriorated with what they've done to it.
Yeah, for years they used to have Friday night fights, for example, on, I think it was NBC. Gillette sponsored it, and it was a very popular and big rating draw for them, but you don't see that anymore.
No, I know they tried. You know, I know Oscar De La Hoya tried to put something together. He had Golden Boy Promotions, but I don't think he could. They could hold the interest. So,
and I'm wondering if it's because of what we just talked about. Do you think it's because of the fact there's just too many different organizations with too many champions, and that as compared to what happened years ago?
Yeah, well, you know, and obviously, you know, again, very much like wrestling, De La Hoya was the promoter. He had to sign the guys. Well, a lot of these other guys are already signed with somebody else. You know, it's why you don't see the WWE guys in AEW, because they're signed to WWE.
Exactly.
So, you know, if you're a promoter, you're not going to let your top guy go fight for Oscar De La Hoya.
No, that's true. Yeah, it used to be a very, very popular sport on TV, but not anymore.
So, yeah, God, I remember watching fight after fight on the weekends, and, yeah, I can't remember the last time I watched a boxing match. Hey, look at that. Have a good evening.